Keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/rainmandigital to pledge.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to this.
Superman.
I'm sorry to be raised.
You are here. The lesser of has to compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Hands. Find me with my hands.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
You have failed this city.
Welcome, guys. You are listening to DC on RMD Arrow Edition on Rain Man Digital. I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me today is Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
And Angelica Dawn.
Hi.
And if you guys haven't already, you can find us on demand on your favorite podcast provider, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. And when you get there, remember to subscribe, click the subscribe button, rate us, review us. It helps the show out. I know we say it every freaking episode, but it is 100% true. Please do that for us. So I'm not going to lie to you guys. I really kind of like this episode. I know it's a fucking shocker, right? The last couple episodes have been okay. Yeah, right? Like, I feel like
Putin, is it your Russian?
Yeah, I actually kind of like this one.
Did you like this one, or did you like the wrestling?
I think I like the wrestling.
I think I
like the bloodbath or blood, whatever the fuck they called it. I typically am not a fan of Mia. We all know that, but I was okay with her segments with Oliver. And I'll get more into it later. I wasn't overwhelmed and like, oh my God, amazing. But I was okay with them.
Okay.
But I'll talk about it more. But today, guys, we will be breaking down and discussing Arrow Season 8, Episode 5.
I thought you were fucking just stalling so you didn't have to say this.
Prognost? I feel like that. I said that correctly. Prognost?
Uh-huh. If you slur things and mumble it enough, it'll right? sound it, right. right.
Yeah, perfect.
Don't give away the breakfast. Secrets because people will realize that's what I do a lot of times. When I don't know what's going on, I'll be like, yeah, and then we and that character, because I don't really remember the name.
Oh, wow. That's now I know. Angelica, give us a synopsis.
Well, we get the full Oliver and Mia show just shoved right down our throats, like very dry, just shoved. And then Roy and Anatoly are back.
Okay. That was actually very simple. This one was directed by Laura Belzy, written by Benjamin Rabb and Derek A. Hughes. Let's jump right into it. So I did not think we'd be going back to Russia anytime soon. I can say that. I'm okay with it. I think, you know, they're doing missions with the kids I like. And for one reason only. Obviously, we've got what?
Because they're not your kids.
They're not my kids. Yep. So I could watch Oliver put them in harm's way, and I don't give a shit. But episode 5, we've got 5 episodes left. I did not think that we'd be going back to Russia this season at all, let alone with fucking Oliver Queen's kids, who are all grown up. And I still find that as a funny thing, because having Oliver have to explain it to everyone. Thank God they cut that out and it just like cut to a scene and he's like, oh, you're their kid. Like, the explanation is like really weird. But I also am really kind of weirded out. I know that obviously they're older and Mia can handle herself and William obviously can sort of handle himself. But it is weird to have Oliver take them on missions with him. I think it is it kind of irresponsible. I don't know if that makes sense.
Why do you say that?
Well, I know that they can handle themselves, and we've clearly seen Mia beat the shit out of guys who weigh 3 times more than she does. But
which makes no fucking sense, but okay.
Yes, I agree. And we'll talk about that more here in a few minutes in this episode. But I just feel like, as a father, Oliver, taking his kids on a mission, even if they are grown and in the future they are technically heroes, just seems kind of fucking dumb. Like, obviously, I know he's trying to teach them a lesson and teach Mia how to be the next, air quotes, Green Arrow, which puke. But I just don't understand why he's taking them to Russia when they probably could have been pushed off onto, like, other
side quests.
Other things that were going on in this episode.
Because they had an agenda, Ryan, and we had to make sure that we know that she is so much like her father and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. Okay. They're pushing that agenda so hardcore,
they are, yes.
And it doesn't make me believe anything.
No.
You know, they keep doing all these training montages with them, and, you know, she's somewhat learning from him. And, you know, they keep doing these things, but it's like her snotty attitude about a lot of it is what turns me off on the character.
Absolutely.
And honestly, that's what's going to make me not give a fuck about the Canary show.
I totally agree. And I think – so what I was talking about earlier in the show, what I liked about it was I love Stephen Amell and how he actually is handling these scenes. I love Oliver in them. He is genuinely trying to help her. The downside to these scenes are what Bob said. Her snotty shit nose attitude makes these scenes not even want to. I don't even want to watch them.
Well,
like Oliver is genuinely trying to help her.
So this episode, like I was in Arizona when I watched it and stuff. So I was watching it with my sister, and she doesn't watch Arrow. She just watches Stephen Amell. But she
should watch him in Hung. It's a lot better watch.
But she was watching it with me, and it was just she was laughing every time Mia came on screen. She was like, "This girl sucks at acting."
And this is somebody that's never seen the show.
Right, exactly. And granted, like, my sister likes shitty, like, CW, Riverdale and stuff like that. Like, she likes that shitty type of acting. Like, she sees it all the time. So for her just to be laughing at it constantly is just like, see, okay, it's not just me.
Yeah, it's tough because I want to love these scenes because of Oliver.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And the difference that we've seen in Oliver in the last two seasons. And he's actually embracing his role as a mentor or a teacher. And he knows that he's going to be gone. And he's trying to prepare, you know, everyone with the fact that, hey, I'm going to be gone. And I think these scenes, I want to love them, but her attitude is just, it brings everything down about it.
Yeah.
And it makes me really negative about the character when ultimately their job is to make us like her. Like, and they're doing a horrible job of it.
The thing is, it's like as much as they keep trying, I see way more of Felicity in William and the way he acts, like of early Felicity.
Can we talk? Let's talk about that because I actually 100% like William's or William. you just did it to me. I like William 400% better than I like Mia. I actually give a shit about William and how. And what happens to him? Mia could fall off a fucking cliff and I don't really give a shit.
But they're not pushing the whole, like, look how much, like, they don't have to explain it over and over, like, look how much William's like his mom. Like, we just get it. Like, we fucking, like, they do, like, the little things that Felicity does, her quirks, her jokes and stuff like that, and klutziness, and we get it. We don't need it constantly put in the dialogue in the show.
Totally agree. It's...
And just like the what I've appreciated about the way that they're writing William versus Mia is that even the subtle smarts that comes out, like when he speaks Russian and everybody looks at him like, what the fuck?
How did you know how to speak Russian?
You know, it would be things like that that you would see out of Felicity when, you know, before the Olicity shipping happened.
Yeah.
That you would like the reason we kind of fell in love with that character, you know, before they kind of. You know, flipped her into angry, you know, Felicity. But you see that a lot in William. Yeah. And his character is written so much better than Mia because the angsty thing is just getting old. At some point, you know, you would feel, you know, as a father and having a daughter, there is a way your daughter looks at you that I don't see there. I don't feel the connection.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though that she hasn't like grown up with him, I just have a feeling that, you know, if they wrote it a little bit different, if they softened her up a little bit more, because Stephen Amell is looking at her like she's a daughter. She is not looking at Stephen Amell like she's a father.
I think there was one glimpse of her genuinely looking like she was into like the whole like father-daughter experience.
And it looked like her trying to act like it. And then I think that's the problem is I just don't think she's good is the issue. Like, I don't think she can act very well.
The scene where with the tennis balls, mm-hmm. when she finally gets it and she looks at Oliver and she actually hits like 7 of 7, right? And she looks over and gives kind of a smirk, kind of the smirk that we've seen him do.
Yeah.
And that was about, 7 seconds? That was the only interaction I've seen with her where I genuinely thought, oh, she actually gives a shit about her dad.
See, and that, yes, I get what you're saying, like, that it's the only time she's cared, kind of. Mm-hmm. But it's also, like, that even felt forced, too.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if it's her or if it's the writing.
It's her.
Or both. But it's bad. And it's so noticeable because how much and how well they've done with William. And I think, you know, William as a kid, hated him. William as an adult, love him. And I don't know what the difference is in the character or why, or it's just the actor. I don't know, but he clearly gives a shit about Oliver, and you can clearly see in his face and when he interacts with him.
Maybe it's just because she doesn't look at Oliver as a dad. She looks at him like a daddy. Heh.
No,
what?
Okay.
To be fair, if you had to pretend that Stephen Amell, so if you had to pretend that Stephen Amell was your dad, I feel like it would be kind of hard, to go for that.
I'm not attracted to guys, but.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yes, that's why I was like pausing. I was like, both of you are straight dudes. Never mind.
No, but at some point, you know, it's not that the age gap isn't there for her to understand, like, this isn't a 70-year-old man. This is an attractive dude.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
You know, that she's looking at, and she could be a little starstruck a little bit.
Right.
You know, and enamored with, instead of seeing it as...
This
you know,
is my dad.
The guy off the oatmeal box.
Right.
This isn't the guy from the diabetes commercial. This is a
Wilford
dude.
Brimley,
it's the guy on the Wheaties box. I'm sorry for that joke.
Yeah, but
oh my God.
This is a guy that, you know, in Hollywood age range of them fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's true. It's just funny.
I'm just trying. I feel bad for shitting on her all the time. No,
because
I feel a little bad for shitting on that person. Like, as a person, I feel bad for her. As the character Mia, she can go fuck herself. Like,
well, that's the thing is, like, I've never watched Storm Chasers or whatever the other thing she's known for.
Bring It On. I'm still convinced.
Bring It On 73. Yes. Back to the Streets.
It's already been brought in. Shadowhunters. Yeah.
Like, I've never seen that, and I know that has, like, a huge fandom, and that's probably why they try to grab her for this, you know, to try to bring over those younger viewers, because I don't even know what it is. I've never seen it. But I'm almost interested in trying to watch an episode just to figure out if this is her MO, or is this bad writing?
I'm not going to lie. I'll watch it because she's a redhead in that, and, yeah, she looks...
What is Shadowhunters on?
I don't even know, but I'll fucking look it up. Because, dude, as a redhead, she looks way better. Holy mackerel.
Okay, Freeform TV. Freeform TV, it's been on for 3 years. You know, and they've won awards. The Teen Choice Awards, which really doesn't mean anything. But obviously, they do something in that actually gets the younger demo that CW wants. And maybe that's why they brought her over, knowing that it was going to end up being a Canary show and... Maybe bring over some of the fans from that. Because,
holy shit, she plays the main character on Shadowhunters.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. Because I read the first three books from that series, and that's actually a huge role. So,
you want to watch your books be destroyed? Go watch Shadowhunters.
Oh, you're probably not wrong. I mean, but the thing is, like, clearly Bob's onto something here, because they must have seen something from that show to bring her on to this one. Also, what's today? The 22nd? It's her birthday today. She's 25 years old.
Well, happy birthday. We're shitting on you.
We're not shitting on her. We're shitting on her character. There's a difference.
You guys, we're being hopeful that you're not shitty all the time.
Yes.
We're going to watch your other show to
see if
you're
horrible.
We're going
to watch one episode of the other show. Exactly. And next week or 2 weeks, whenever we come back, we will let you know if you're shitty or not.
Happy birthday. We're going to judge you.
We're going to do what we do.
Happy birthday to the ground. while we're still shitting on her, let's talk about her fight scenes. Dude.
A little person like that, I don't care. Like, how dude, she's
you're
punching.
Not
you are not knocking someone out like that. You are
not
too,
a 220 pound man.
You are a against, small lady.
Yeah. 220 pound man versus 105 pound woman. Maybe.
But not the way that she was doing it either. Like, I can't believe that she's like going to hit a punch and it's going to knock him out cold. Like,
if she's nut punching the dude, different story.
Yeah, nut punch him, sure. Then he's like done for.
Or you know, a knife coming at her and being able to deflect the knife and stab it into somebody else.
Well, there was one instance where she's in the Bratva test. I mean, so that's what we're going to call it.
Yeah.
She punches a guy to the right.
Yep.
And then she does a spin low like kick to like knock the guy. And the slowest force I've ever seen. And the guy does a backflip as she like sweeps the leg.
Yeah.
Slowest I've ever seen. And the guy just – he sold it. Like backflipped into the air. Like the stunt guy must have been the best stunt guy I've ever seen. Because
it's actually the stunt guy for Diggle. That's why.
She barely touched his heel and he did an absolute backflip. And I'm sitting here rolling my eyes and it's like, there's a way to make a girl her size make sense fighting multiple people.
Right.
Like if you're that small, you have to fight dirty.
Like fight dirty, like weapons, things like yes. that. Like any.
There's ways to make it right. Like, right. you know, Jet Li is like 5'2" mm-hmm. and beat the fuck out of dudes twice his size because right. he's fucking Jet Li. Right. But he fought with, like you said, Angelica, weapons. He was dirty at some points. He would hit parts of their body that, like, in a normal fight.
Hit him in the patella.
Yeah, like, there are – this is inside joke there, and I just got it. There's ways to make a girl her size make sense beating the shit out of dudes that she's beating the shit out of.
Well, again, her most convincing fight scene was the one where her stiletto went fucking 50 feet in the
flying
air.
Flying off. Yeah. Still my favorite part of Arrow – ever is watching Mia's fucking shoe fly off.
We look, they're trying to make her fight scenes exactly like Oliver's.
Right.
And it makes no sense. You shouldn't. You should make her fight scenes unique to her frame and her body. And I think
it should focus too on like, she should have more coordination. She should be faster. She should also have more stealth. Like you should, you have to go the route of what you did with Speedy and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Speedy was believable though, right?
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying is like for Speedy, they looked at like, okay, look at this tiny person. What are we going to do for her to be able to take down people? Not have her fucking punch them and then they go out cold.
Yes. Like, they need to do more of the gymnastic-y type luchador. You know, right. wrestling moves.
Yep. The takedowns.
Again, a sliding kick. Dude, how funny would it be if she was fighting, trying to ring that bell and just baseball slid and punched somebody in the nuts?
Right.
Dude, it would have been believable, though.
It would have been believable for her character, too, because she's so spicy all the time. Like,
yeah. You know, jab a thumb and an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us some dirty tactics. That's how a girl her size beats the shit out of dudes that size. And I think that's why it's so.
I'm glad we have a girl on this show.
I do too. I am.
You're welcome,
because it would
guys.
Just sound like we were just super masculine. And be yeah. like, a girl can't do anything. Yeah.
No, it's nice.
I got big balls. Oh,
it's nice that we have a girl on here that actually understands, you know.
Yeah.
Fighting. That also has big balls. Just kidding.
That also has huge balls. Yes.
Will put a thumb in your eye.
Yeah.
I just think
pretend
that's,
I'm the mountain and squish your head.
Oh, God. I just think that that's why they're unbelievable. I think if they treated her and her choreography a little bit better, we wouldn't sit here and roll our eyes watching her beat the shit out of 220-pound men. And, you know, because they do such a great job with Canary, with Dinah, with all these other women on the show where they're believably strong. And I think they do it
with weapons and other things.
Yeah. And
if she was just picking people off with arrows the whole time.
Totally believable. I mean,
but
we
you
honestly
have to
can see
remember,
that
like, remember she was a fighter before. Like, oh, yeah. I don't know how heavy you were when you were fighting back then, but
was she
like,
in the welterweight
this
class
shit doesn't
or?
Work now. So,
yeah.
But seeing her, like, obviously they played up her arrow. Like, she can shoot a bow and arrow. Like, they played that up.
Yeah, but when you go into the cage like they did, I understand
yeah,
what they
I
were
get,
doing.
I get it.
And
okay, but also, look, she was trained by Nyssa Al Ghul. Like, look at Nyssa and how she fights. She has a fucking weapon. And even when she doesn't, like, it's more of focusing on that speed. It's focusing on that, like, dance instead of, like, power.
I think they do that with all the women. I think they do a really good job of playing to their strengths. Obviously, a little girl like that is going to be way faster than a big guy. Play to the fact that she's faster than them and give us fight scenes. Don't show us her overpowering a man. Show us her being way faster.
You know what
than
would
guy.
Sell it for me?
What?
If she taught Oliver something.
Right?
Yeah.
That, you know, because you're dealing...
That makes weak sense, dude.
You're dealing with somebody that's been trained since she was 12, 13 years old by the same people that trained you. And so she should have more experience to be like, yeah, Dad, that's not how this goes. You know, we could do this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. You know, or dude, even write her like they do with Roy. You know, he, you only need me because I'm small and you can do like the ninja flip type shit.
Yeah. It's true. They did that one episode.
Yeah.
Where, yeah. I think there's things to fix. They can fix her. They 100% can. I just think that they don't want to, honestly. I don't think they give a shit.
And it's one of those things, like even in that fight scene, watching Oliver get distracted by his daughter the whole time. Again, you saw somebody that was actually giving a shit about her. You know what I mean? And, you know, those acting scenes are there for Steven. It's just it's hard for us to give a shit about her, I guess, is the way I'm looking at a lot of this.
And it's totally hard, too, because, like, I don't know. I say it with Bobby all the time on the Watchmen show, and it's just like, let people tell their story. And I understand that they're trying to tell their story here with them and, like, look how much they're alike and stuff. But you, like, you can be more real. You can do better is all we're trying to say.
I wouldn't expect her to be like her dad since her dad was only around 3 months.
Exactly. Like, I could
understand mannerisms, things that you, like, are genetically coded into you.
Yeah.
Dude, there's some things that I say that I'm like, oh, my God, I sound like my fucking dad. You know, or you do something and you're like, oh, you know, the deep breath when I'm irritated, that's my dad.
Yeah.
You know, and have her do some of those kind of mannerisms that are just kind of coded in your DNA. It's not.
Well, that's the difference between William and her is that William, it looks like as an actor, he like studied Felicity in the early days and stuff and studied like what he would do like for those mannerisms and stuff like that. But it doesn't seem like that at all with Mia. And I get that, like, it's different there. Like, it's hard to be like a big, tough, buff, brooding guy when you're the tiniest thing ever.
But there are different things
that, like, I do that my dad does. Like, it's little things like that.
But, and I think it's one of those things, if you think about, what was it, one or two episodes ago when William and Curtis were next to each other.
Yeah.
And you legitimately could have taken William out and superimposed Felicity.
Yep.
And saw it. I don't see that right now to where if they took me out in a Diggle, you know, him and Diggle. Mm-hmm. And you know, some scene with those two, I don't see her fitting in with Diggle and it feeling like it's the same pair.
No way.
Oh, I totally agree. I think it's interesting that it's just her. I think it's just me. Yeah. Everyone else seems actually makes sense. I think it's just her.
Yep.
Hey, DC on RMD listeners, if you love our shows, please share with your friends and review. With every share and review, you help our show climb those charts. Wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play, remember to share those links each and every episode. Let's talk about Roy. First of all,
it's memory lane. Yeah. I think every episode.
No, I think you're right. I think I texted you that an episode ago.
Uh-huh.
This is absolutely memory lane, and I think they're just doing it to, A, bring characters back for Crisis and gear us up and get the team fully stocked. I also think this one's weird for me because they even gloss over the fact that Roy left. Oh my God, I just blanked.
Thea?
Yeah, sorry.
I was like a city person. No, I had a guess there.
I didn't think that they really glossed over it. I thought that they touched on it. Like, you fucking left her, dude. What the hell?
It should be bigger than it was.
Not if he needs a favor from somebody.
Right?
in my headcanon, like, if I'm going to ask you for a favor, I'm not going to tell you all the different ways you fucked up and be like, hey, you still down?
I need your help, but let me shit on you real quick.
Yeah. I just think he made it, he very nonchalant it. Like, Roy and Thea were very much like they...
To be fair, they can't linger on that kind of stuff right now. We only have 5 episodes left.
I mean, I just felt like it was kind of second news, and it's like they left, and it was such a big deal when they left, and then now, I left it was the best thing, and then that was it.
So obviously, Roy goes on a crazy killing rampage and then goes to Leon Yu, right? For sure? Is that what happens in Crisis?
Yeah, something. He does something that sends him back, or he never makes the crisis. Something happens in the next couple episodes where he's like, I'm out of here.
Waste. That would be such a, like, we don't need filler right now. Like, yeah. He has to make it to crisis and then just go ape shit.
Or he makes it to crisis and makes a decision, and that leads him to Leon Yu.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it has to be something with that.
Maybe the monitor will fuck with him.
Well,
he's already broken right now. So, I mean.
Well, he's fucking with everybody because he's fucking with Oliver. He's fucking with Barry over on fucking Flash. There's a lot going on.
A lot of fucking.
There's a lot of fucking going on. And it's the monitor doing all the fucking, you know. I like that Roy was back. I think I can speak for all of us. We like Roy.
Oh, for sure.
Such a cool character. I think that.
He looks healthy, by the way. I know this is.
Yes, I was going to say that. He looks so good, right?
I know. When I saw him, I was like, oh, precious baby Colin.
Yeah, because, you know, he dealt with like depression problems and some other things. And dude, he was looking kind of sickly skinny.
He looks awesome.
And he just looked like he was really healthy. And like when he pulled out of the, you know, underneath the car and his head came up and I was looking at him, I'm like, it makes me happy that characters or, you know, real life things have turned around for some of these people, because he definitely, you could tell when he left the show originally that something was up, and he just looks so healthy now compared. So
I just,
I was definitely happy seeing that.
I can't believe just how pretty of a man he is. Like it blows me away every time you see this dude, because like he is a very good looking dude. It is unbelievable.
I don't know how Matt didn't just go for it when he was in the elevator with him.
I would have. And I'm straight. Think about that.
Hey, like, Colton, I'm straight, but
you're a very, very attractive man. Okay, bye. he looked great. I've always liked the character. I think he's done a great job with Roy on the show. It's cool to see him back. I think I also liked that they put Diggle with him this episode, because if anyone's gonna persuade you to come back to the team, it's Diggle. Diggle just knows how to.
He's the least judgmental person.
He really is, right? He can't judge anyone. He killed his own brother. Like,
oh shit.
You have to think about that. He killed his own brother, and he openly admits to it, and he's atoned for his sin. But he's the least judgmental person on this show, and he's the best person to talk sense into people. How many times have we seen him talk sense into Oliver? 857 times? Like, he is the perfect person to talk sense into Roy.
It's just showing what a good dad he is.
Well, not only that, but let's think about this. Okay, we're on this kick of like, I know what's going to happen in the future. We know that he's going to end up on Leon Yu and he runs into William. But how he gets there is what I think they're trying to change. Obviously, in the timeline where he goes on a murderous rampage and exiles himself on Leon Yu. But knowing that, Diggle goes and says, I can still change this. And I think that's where we're playing that card of like, I know I can change him. I know that he's gonna end up on Leon Yu in a different way. And I think this is cool how they're doing this. Obviously, we know the future, but I think they're gonna change it with Crisis. And
of course of course they will. Barry Allen is involved. Like, well, it's gonna get fucked up somehow.
He'll fuck it up somehow. But I enjoyed Roy being back. I'm glad. I hope he stays all the way till the end.
Like, isn't it weird that they keep doing this and we know that they're just trying to get this weapon to kill the monitor or kill a god? And it's just such a side note to everything else that's going on as far as, you know, either saying goodbye to characters or being reintroduced to them. You know, we're not so stuck on like, oh, they're going to kill a god. We're like, whatever is going to happen, it's going to happen. Let's just keep doing halfway decent shows.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, dude. It's actually really refreshing. I mean, obviously we know Crisis is coming, but they're doing such a great job of bringing these characters back, and for a reason. Like, I think that's one thing that we always talk about on any show that we do on Rain Man Digital, is that if you're going to bring characters back, they got to be back for a reason. And I thought they did a really good job with bringing Roy back and putting him with Diggle. It made sense.
Yep.
Let's talk about Laurel for a little bit.
My girl.
Talk about the ultimate redemption story.
Dude, this is the ultimate redemption story. I am actually loving everything that they're doing with her. And Katie Cassidy is fucking killing it as Laurel.
I'm very happy for her, you know? Like,
I think she deserves this.
Right?
Katie Cassidy deserves this. Right? She got shafted.
She got shafted, and now who's going to get her own show here?
Yeah.
I mean, she's one of the she's one of the people that I'm actually looking forward to when the Canaries and the Green Arrow thing come out.
Yeah, I agree.
I think honestly, that's why I will watch, is just for her specifically. Yeah.
Honestly, I like her and Dinah's reactions and the ultimate, like, how they've changed that dynamic with those two characters. The fact that she doesn't turn on Oliver is fucking awesome. Talk about ultimate redemption. Like, she says last episode that she doesn't like Oliver. And you think, fuck, she's going to turn on him. And then this was, like, the ending of this episode was fucking phenomenal.
Oof,
with her being the one that's like, hey, basically calling the red flag.
And she, like, I love that she gives her a chance to come clean and then just ends it with, well, oof, this is going to be awkward then. Like, yeah. So very much so, like, Black Siren in character. But also, but like, her way of being mm-hmm. good now. Like, I am excited to see her Canary, you know?
Did you guys think we'd see Anatoly again?
No, that was delightful.
Super cool. And I love how they've changed him, too. Mm-hmm. And her talk with him, because they were both part of, you know, the
two characters basically the same way.
Yeah. And they've completely redeemed both of them. And I think it was really neat to see them kind of chat with each other because they were part of the knockoff Legion of Doom or whatever the hell you wanted to call it. But they both changed for the better and in a better way. And I think having those two chat with each other in this episode was fucking phenomenal. And honestly, even her talks with Mia were fucking good. Yeah. I think, like Bob said, this is the ultimate redemption story and it's gearing us up for
it wasn't forced.
No, it wasn't at all. Right. Nothing about it was forced.
It wasn't like this person, like this person, like this person. No. Hey, you should like this person. It was written well. It's acted well. Again, just Katie Cassidy in general getting kind of jobbed by the shippers at one point and not getting, you know, the original Green Arrow story, getting killed off and then coming back stronger than ever. I mean, she's Jesus.
she is Jesus.
She's fucking Jesus. Oh, that's funny. Let's talk about the last thing. And this I did not even see coming, but Layla, what the fuck is she getting from the monitor to do this? It has to be something.
Dude, big. She looks like shit.
She did look like shit, by the way. But what she is
well, because the reason I posed that question is because Laurel was getting her planet back.
Right.
So what did the monitor offer Layla to turn on everybody? Like, there's got to be something, right? It's not just because.
Why are we saying Layla? It's Lila.
I don't know.
We're dumb.
Because I wrote it that way because I don't know how to spell.
No, Bobby, you're right. So Black Siren was getting her Earth 2 back, right? What is Lila getting out of this deal?
Her baby daughter back that she never knew.
But yeah, but like you don't even know her.
Why? I know. Like I read that on the internet when I thought of this question, and I was like, that doesn't make sense because you don't even know.
It makes no sense. So I think it has to be something huge. Has to be something huge.
Maybe she's sick because she looks like shit.
Okay. That's all I could think of.
Like it's to keep John and her family safe. That's it.
Well, I mean, there are photos of her as Harbinger for Infinite Crisis. Or Crisis on Infinite Earths. So, yeah. I mean, obviously she's affiliated somehow with the monitor more than just, you know, turning on everyone.
Yeah.
So.
But why?
I don't know. I don't know what she's getting out of it. But it's got to be something huge for her to turn on everyone. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. At least that's what I think. But I don't know what it is. I couldn't even fucking fathom it. So with that, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our final thoughts and more. But first, a quick break.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping.
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code Rain Man. Again, that's Rain Man. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's Rain Man at adamandeve.com.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man.
Are they predominantly conservative out there?
I think they're forced to be.
Yeah.
Are they? I love me a Jewish broad. Give me a big old Israeli
We've
chick.
We've called in a consultant, Michael Flores. He's apparently a scientist from the faraway land of America.
The quieter, the better, right?
Jesus.
Gotta hide him in the closet.
Those Jewish ladies out there are fucking animals. They're machines.
Take notes. He knows about this. This helps our study.
Gal Gadot is Israel.
Is Israel.
One woman. One woman is the entirety of a fucking nation state.
Oh, hell yeah.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Hey, DC comic fans. This week's featured product is DC Black Label Harleen Number 1. Witness Harleen's first steps on a doomed quest that will give birth to the legendary supervillain Harley Quinn. In this stunning reimagining of Harley and Joker's twisted and tragic love affair by visionary storyteller Shepin Sejic, who's also done Aquaman, Underworld, Suicide Squad, and Sunstone. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details and purchase through our links.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
And it helps strengthen the one rule in Star Trek that basically a lot of fans and a lot of writers in Star Trek really do not take that much seriously, is that prime directive. The prime directive is you do not by any means interact with a pre-warp society.
Unless they're hot. If the whole world is a bunch of T'Pauls and seven of nines, then yes, you must break that prime directive.
That's what makes those
moments, or at least bend it slightly to the right and up.
That's
so stupid.
Oh man, what is it that's bothering him?
Yeah,
because everyone deals with that. There's a lot of. I always read like self-help books and stuff like that that tell about inside.
I read self-help books when it comes to sex. I need lots of help. I need lots of help. That's how I learned about the slight bend to the right and up.
Bend to the right and up.
That was due to a sex help book.
And sexual yoga books.
Yeah. Well, the Sex for Dummies.
Star Trek from the Holodeck, exclusively on Rain Man Digital.
End simulation.
All right, guys, let's jump into our final thoughts of the episode. Angelica, why don't you go first?
37%.
Wow.
Whoa.
That low?
Are you serious?
Yes.
You're not kidding.
Why?
I'm not kidding.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't ever argue with anybody's ratings. I just...
I thought about it, too. I had a long drive today, and like I was like, no, be nice, 47. And I was like, no, this is solid, like how I feel. And the way that I like ration it, too, is like, okay, where do you put The Last Jedi? And I'm like, like 13%. So that's
so
just,
this is 27% or whatever better.
Yes, exactly. Because yes, it has great acting moments from select people, character building, but ultimately there's too much Mia and a huge like side, a huge chunk of the story is something that we don't need forced on us.
So Angelica, let me ask you a question. If you took Mia completely out, what would this go to percentage wise?
Oh, 72.
Okay.
That only eliminates 37 minutes of a 44 minute episode.
And that was the thing though, it was such a big chunk of it, and yes, there were redeeming qualities to it, but as far as the redeeming qualities, it's stuff I've seen on Arrow episodes before. So good job, you're consistent, but also like you threw this big chunk of something I don't need.
I this makes sense.
Ryan's lowering his score now.
No, I'm actually gonna stay where I'm at. I had this at a 58.
You said you liked the episode at the beginning. How did it drop to a 58?
I know.
Well, that's not bad. If you look
at
our rating,
you guys
clearly
really good
don't
points,
look at the score system breakdown.
Because I like the one time you follow the rules is that fucking sheet that only you look at.
Yep. Hey, I'm following the rules. A 58 him, is still a good,
make him
a good rating.
Write down his grading at the beginning of the episode.
It was literally a 58. I did not change it at all.
I need you guys to text me your ratings before we ever start, and right, I will exactly. open them up.
So stupid. 58. I did like the episode. I agree with Angelica though. I mean, you cut out the snarky, shitty Mia scenes, and this goes to an 85. I think the thing that I struggle with is that she just does not look at Oliver the way she should. And maybe there's factors to it. Like Angelica brought up, you know, she looks at him as a daddy, not a dad. I don't know who fucking knows, but
there, best thing I've ever heard, by the way,
it is amazing.
and completely makes sense.
Yes,
head.
It really does. I think it's a shame because we look at William and we really like William, and then they made her and they just made her so fucking annoyingly bitchy that it just doesn't make any sense. And we talked about this a couple of episodes where, you know, you're meeting your dad for the first time. Don't be a twat.
Yeah.
And she's being a twat. And I think that's the thing that really sucks about it. As far as everything else that went on in this episode, it was fucking great. Diggle and Roy, amazing. Had a great time watching, again, those two on screen together. Diggle's fuck. I mean, we can't say anything bad about Diggle. I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think for me, the episodes are getting better. But I also...
Is this the lowest rated episode you just gave it right now?
No, I thought I gave the other ones pretty fucking bad.
No, I think that's Flash.
Well, maybe I'm getting them confused. I don't know. Whatever. they'll go up when the crisis happens. Whatever. I did like the episode. I think that there were scenes that could have been just completely lost, or they need to rewrite Mia in a better way, or maybe she'll get better as we go on. I don't know. We got five more episodes.
Or maybe she'll die and it'll be great.
Who knows? Maybe the monitor will snap her out of existence. Who knows? Yes. But I think at the end, they are sort of getting better, but we'll see. We've got five episodes left. Bob, I don't know. What do you think?
What did you give it?
I gave it a 58.
I'm going to give it a 65.
Oh, wow.
Again, so nice. The only issues I really had were just the Mia angsty scenes again. Everything else I thought was solid. They keep working towards, which I believe all the shows should be at this point, the crossover. Because it's such a big deal, and if you want to make it a big deal, you want to have those tie-ins and give me that comic book feel that, you know, we all kind of grew up watching. It's like, well, go over to Flash, you know, Volume 1's 7, and find out more. And we're really not getting that from a lot of the other episodes out there. They keep working it. And again, some of the grading that I'm giving, because characters like William, Laurel, Diggle, Roy, Oliver are outweighing the Mia funk.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it.
Okay. All right, guys. With that is our final thoughts. That will do it for today's DC on RMD Arrow edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future shows on DCOnRMD.com. Follow us on our social medias. And with that, guys, we will see you next week.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.